things on each other, and for the most part, it's all working together. You know, and the same thing with the monarchies, but you know, they're all in on it, and you can tell that the you know, the Vatican is really the end all be all. I totally believe, and you know, and if you look at the amounts of presidents that were Knights of Malta, or went to Jesuit universities, world leaders that went to Jesuit universities, Vietnamese leaders that traveled to France or Italy to go to school. You know, they're not just going to some state school there or whatever. They're going to, you know, to one of these Jesuit schools. And that's why they're there to get their education on how the Holy See runs it. And, you know, ESMOM, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. And, you know, all the CIA agents, William Colby, all the head CIA guys are all Knights of Malta, every one of them. So, I mean, I think that really shows, you know, where it goes.
Yeah, and the whole thing, a lot of people don't realize, too, is the connections. And even though I know, and a lot of the people that obviously have listened to me know that, you know, 9/11 was mostly a Hollywood scripted filmed event, like a movie or a TV show. But a lot of the people that were involved in it that would be in the know, like upper people in the CIA and in the Army and in the Air Force. I mean, there's so many of them that were all Knights of Malta.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. Yep. And for people that don't know what that is, from what I gather, it's sort of like almost like the military arm of the Vatican, sort of, right? But maybe not such to that extent, but kind of covertly.
It's the military intelligence arm, and that's what they do. They go out and they spread out into different you know, different areas, and they all you know, get a different thing to co-opt. And you know, most people don't realize it, but the evangelicals thing to make them all Zionists, well, that was another job done by the Vatican. That, you know, they have all these guys that you see, like Pat Robertson and who's another one of these famous you know, religious folks.
Pat Buchanan.
Yeah, well, Pat Buchanan is a definite Jesuit shill. But every one of these, you know, so-called
Charlie,
you know,
Sheen, Martin Sheen.
Yes, Charlie Sheen and Martin Sheen also too. But ministers, I'm talking about. You know, if you look at where they go to, they're all part of a group known as the Council for National Policy. And the Council of National Policy is really just a front group for many Knights of Malta. And that's where they're there. Sung Yung Moon, the leader of the Moonies, you know, all these weird religions, they all come back to, you know, to this one place.
And this is a group you are not allowed to talk about on InfoWars.
Nope.
He will not let it happen. And not just InfoWars. The reason a lot of you people out there probably don't, you know, might not have even heard of some of these groups is the Knights of Malta, which you can't even type in the Prison Planet forum, by the way. It'll disappear and not post. Just so you know, for your information. Censorship, by the way. The Knights of Malta, you won't hear about them in, like, you know, other alternative sources. You got to get to some deeper sites to start reading about some of this stuff. I mean, you're just not going to see it on the. It's almost like there's mainstream alternative sources now, like RT and, you know, exactly. Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say. They won't talk about it, you know. They'll never talk about the Knights of Malta or the Jesuits or the Vatican, even, you know.
Right, totally. You know, it's gotten to the point now, and here's the thing: that, you know, you find a lot of researchers out there. There's some that won't touch the Zionist issue, and there's some that won't touch the Knights of Malta issue or the, you know, the Vatican issue. And some that won't touch either, but you know, you can notice a lot of times when someone's controlled by, if they spend too much time, just blaming everything on the Zionists, blaming everything on, you know, like a David Duke, for example, you know, guys like that, that everything is because of world Jewry, everything, you know,
that's
exactly. It's a bunch of garbage. It really, you know, and like I said, Zionism is a huge thing. And I'll bet that most of the people that are big in the Zionists might not even know that they're attached to this higher organization. And there, like I said, there may even be feuds going on inside it. And there also is a couple, you know, ties going back to where supposedly there was a Rothschild loan that was made to Pope Pius. Pope Pius is one of the most evil people you'll ever hear of. He was also known as Hitler's Pope. But anyway, there's a lot of stuff that you you know, that some people say makes the Rothschilds higher than the Vatican. But I still look at them as the Vatican's bankers. And that was kind of like a sweetheart loan, in my opinion.
I think very much the same, and I think they're there to kind of just shield the Vatican's name from being on anything. You know, everybody just talks about the Rothschilds, and the banks are all Rothschilds banks, and, you know, I think it's really more like the Vatican myself.
Yeah, but, I totally agree with that. Go ahead.
No, that's pretty much all I had to say on that. Guys, we're gonna play a quick song, take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll come back and we promise we're gonna open up the phone lines. But what I want to do is I want to put a question out there for you listeners, and hopefully a couple of you guys will call in with it. I want to hear, and we're gonna give you a few ideas from you guys, some of the dumbest conspiracy theories you guys have heard of the last year, or some of the, you know, the worst disinformation that you've heard floated out there that people just try to get you to bite on, or, you know, some of the, you know, like some of the things from the EU Times, for example, stuff like that. I want you guys to call in, and we'll have a little fun with that. But we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Brian Stavely Show here on the Last American Radio Broadcast. Okay, everybody, welcome back to the Last American Radio Broadcast. You know, I've been joined here tonight with Justin Cook, and I just wanted to say, you know, thanks, Justin, for staying on here with me so long. It's been a great show. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely appreciate the invite.
Yeah. You know, real quick, guys, I just wanted to, I just wanted to throw my website out there so you guys know where you can find me, some of my material, my blogs, all that stuff. We're going to, you know, give you where you can find Justin's group on Facebook and everything. So if you found this stream, I'm imagining you found the Last American Radio Broadcast. I do shows on there, usually during the daytime. I was doing Monday through Friday. I got a little busy in December here with the holidays and a few things that happen around here. But I will be getting more back to a regular schedule on there. And for those of you that aren't there right now, that maybe came direct to the stream, it's thelastamerican.org. Thelastamerican.org. Also, I have another website, okay, that is the first website I just gave you is a joint venture with me, Phil J. Han, Mike DeMann, Justin comes on and helps out, a few people from the Let's Roll forums, and then I have my own site, which I've done for about a year now, right about, you know, when I finally became aware or whatever. I started a website, and that's called TheRealNewsOnline.com. I am going to put this show up on there. That you can always find my complete archive up there for any show I do on any network. You can always find up there. I have some great 9/11 information that I think everybody out there needs to read. If you haven't heard, any of the new research about the Hollow Towers, or, you know, the lack of victims and, you know, everything else that goes along with that, you really need to get over there. I have a great little section about, you know, exposing the fake truthers is what I call it, and that's pretty much what it is. Some really, pretty mind-blowing videos on some of the people in the alternative media that I'm sure a lot of you have followed or, you know, at least listened to at one point, and there's some stuff you guys really need to know about that. And for Justin, Justin's got a great group on Facebook. I'm pretty much everybody has Facebook, I'm assuming. You know, I shouldn't just assume, but, you know, if you're on the computer here, you probably have Facebook. It's called Useless Eaters. Always good information going on around in there. Justin, I'm going to open up the phone lines for everybody. And we'll just keep doing our thing. And, you know, if anybody wants to call in and, you know, if they have anything to add or, you know, whatever they want to, you know, whatever direction you guys want to go in. If you want to ask us anything, you want to throw anything out there, or you want to respond to, you know, what I said, you know, some of the dumbest conspiracy theories you heard, and I'm going to throw my first one out there, and I think Justin knows, you know, what it is, because I brought it up the other day, because our buddy Mike, he actually put this in his blog. This is something he posted a couple days ago in the Firetown blog, which is a great blog. It was like the 10 dumbest conspiracies of like the last year or something. But I thought of one that wasn't on the list, and it was the whole conspiracy theory about how the DC earthquake was actually caused by a couple of rogue CIA agents that were trying to, they were supposedly, and I do not buy this. This is why I'm laughing at it, guys, okay? And you'll see who it was floated out by after, and you'll know. And there were supposedly these tunnels, which I think probably maybe do exist, okay, but I don't know, that go from Denver to, Langley or whatever, and they're moving the CIA base out to Denver. Okay, and we all know about the airport and everything. If you don't, we'll touch on that a little bit after. Supposedly, these tunnels that run underground, these massive tunnels, and they were moving some sort of sensitive material. Don't know what. Nukes, UFOs, whatever. They just want you to speculate, okay? So they're moving this sensitive material, and these two people tried to stop them, and they set off two nukes, one at each end of the tunnel, and that's what caused the DC earthquake, and that's what caused this whistling sound that you heard come out of these vents in Florida at Tropicana Stadium and in Colorado on some videos that popped up on YouTube. And I just thought that that was pretty absurd.
Yeah, I do too. I think that the whole fact of that guys like this want you to think that now here's taking another example. The Ron Paul types want you to think that Ron Paul is going to save everything, and the guys that were disseminating this want you to think that these so-called white hats or Illuminati insiders that are not happy with the way things are being run are actually fighting back. And that's what this is a part of. It's to me, it's disinformation, because I haven't seen anything yet as to real proof to
Nothing
you know that
on
shows
that.
Any of
I
this.
tried, dude.
No.
I tried, because it was an interesting story, dude, and I tried, and there was nothing else out there. And you know where it's coming from, and I didn't know about this at the time. This was my first encounter with it. It was coming from the EU Times. Now, when you
Right.
first look at the EU Times, like, by the look of the website and stuff, I mean, it looks very legit. You don't know. I mean, it looks like it would be legit. And so this
You almost
story.
think it's mainstream. You almost think
Exactly.
it's
Yeah, it's like
right.
the EU Times. Like, that must be a mainstream site. I mean, look at the name they got. The EU, European Union, the European Union Times newspaper. I mean, yeah, exactly what I thought, almost, right? And then, you see the content, so you realize it's not, but you think it's pretty, you start to think it might be credible, and then you read this story, and they put a couple, the only picture they put in there is the picture of this big drill thing that supposedly dug these tunnels, and that's like the only type of evidence they have besides a couple of videos of this funny sound coming out in the baseball stadium. I do not think they set off nukes underground and stopped them from moving any sensitive material, but I just that's the type of crazy stories that people just put out there, and I thought that was one of the more ridiculous conspiracy theories that
And
they floated out there.
also, Brian, to add with that, I think they also said that there was, I may be mixing up stories here, but I believe they said there was important people that were down there and were
Yeah,
now trapped.
no, they did in Denver. In Denver, because, okay, sorry for jumping in so much, but in Denver, they have the city underneath the airport, as the theory goes, and I tend to believe that. And
Yes.
they are gonna have important people under there if the what hits the fan. And the story goes with those nukes, exactly what Justin was saying, is that they actually blew up, like, 100,000 of the elites, like, underground in the city, right? That's what you heard?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And so you get this sense of, like, oh, we're actually really fighting back. That's exactly what you're
Right.
talking about. Talk about fighting back, taking out 100,000 of them underneath the Denver airport would be a pretty good accomplishment, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'd say 100,000, and we might actually have, if 100,000 of these people really got
Yeah,
taken out, I think
important
that
people, yeah.
they would be panicking and showing last signs of desperation but no, we're seeing the same old stuff. We're seeing, more draconian laws being put through, and if that was true, they'd be trying to finesse us a lot more. They're just boldly doing what they can do because they can, and I think that it's something that we can't expect any Smedley Butlers this time, that anyone is going to come out and save us. I think that the most important thing here is that we learn collectively how to live around these people, and also just to you know, to live under the circumstances of them, and also try not to, you know, don't vote, don't do anything that they, you know, don't try to get a general strike. I think that would be our best bet here, and hope that the military eventually, you know, finds their senses. But, you know, as far as that goes, you know, that these so-called white hats or whatever you want to call them, Leo Zagami is another one that pushes that kind of stuff. Fulford's big on it. You know, I don't know. I haven't seen any evidence that any of it is really true. You know, EU Times also put another one, too, and that was the NORAD or something to do with the fact that the elites were locking themselves up at a certain time, and they went and said that all these important people were going to be, you know, here and there, and that they actually were supposedly going underground in Colorado. You know, so anytime you see the names David Booth, Sorchafal, don't believe a word of it. And as for Ben Fulford, Leo Zagami, discernment is the key. You may find a little bit of truth in it, but you're going to find 90%. Disinfo, and you know, and here's the deal: once an insider, always an insider. You know, not too many of these people are really going to have a big change in heart. They know what they're dealing with here. You know, they're not going to go and all of a sudden rat on their friends or the people that are their life support in reality.
Exactly. I didn't buy any of that story. I honestly, it piqued my interest for a good, you know, 20 minutes, half hour, enough to research it. But there's nothing there. I mean, there's nothing. There's a couple people posting YouTube videos trying to show you some BS seismograph that you don't even know what you're looking at. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's the thing with any of these things. You try to cross-reference it and even find anything at all. And I know we don't want to rely on mainstream, but sometimes you have to go and see, even if the mainstream tried giving a fake story for it. Or,
you do.
You know, looking... You know, it may be if another alternative one touched on it at all, but the only ones that were touching on it were the ones that fell for it, and they linked back to EU Times.
Every forum that it was on linked back to EU Times or another site that posted that same article with the same exact, you know, words right from the EU Times. And that was my first encounter with them, and then I heard after, you know, how bad they were. I guess they float BS stories out there like that all the time. And if you guys check it out, go to their site. I mean, it looks like a legit site.
It's almost like The Onion, except nothing's funny. Nothing's funny about it. And I think that the reason for sites like this is to make people, like you said earlier, make us seem cuckoo for believing this stuff. You know, and I think that's the biggest, you know, the biggest thing that they're there for, and also to make us waste time, you know, going through this stuff, and also to, you know, to give your emotions a flip flop and make you, you know, it's all about. For lack of better words, throwing shit against the wall and seeing what will stick. And I think that's what they do very often in a lot of situations. And they have people that do it for them.
Hey, we'll get the call, Justin. I don't mean to cut you off.
Sure.
I'm going to, it's Phil. Phil's calling in. Guys, Phil Jahan from Let's Roll Forums and from The Last American. He's calling in right now. We're going to patch him right through.
While we're waiting for Phil to come through, I just want to say, if anyone else wants to call in with any of your extraordinary conspiracy theories that you've, you know, heard over the past couple of years. Hey, Phil, are you with us now? Yeah, I was going to say, if anybody wants to call in, I believe the call-in number is on the site here. You know, we're talking about what the dumbest conspiracy theories and disinfo stories of 2011. Also, if you think that we've missed something about 2011... or something that you want to bring up that you feel is important, go ahead and call in. Trying to think of, you know, and I also have some predictions for 2012. But you know what? It's very hard to tell right now which way they're going to go with it. And last year, I think one thing that they did was they made us wait all year long on this, you know, New Madrid seismic zone, and they never blew it up. All across the alternative news, you know, we had this theory that we were hearing about. They were going to harp the new Madrid, actually, as it's pronounced. Well, you know what? I still don't take that off the board. I can see that happening at any time, along with Yellowstone. And I always go back to Bill Cooper's quote. Let me see if I can get that for you. And I think that eventually, too, we're going to see some type of blue beam, you know, fake alien invasion, whether it's this year or next year. But these are things that I think that they have to do to get us into world government, to, you know, because they've ran out of enemies. And, you know, what would be better than, you know, to make one up? And it just made me think of this because I saw how Japanese scientists have created touchable holograms now. So, you know, there's actually holograms that you may be able to, you know, to touch in life mode, you know. Insane.
That is. And so how can you touch it? I don't understand. How do they make you feel it? What is it? I've seen before that they had ones that blew like air, and they blew it in different pressure, so you could kind of feel things would kind of feel solid in different points more than others. Is that what it is, or is it something way more advanced than that?
I believe it's something way more advanced than that. I believe it's something where you can actually feel like a shape of something and feel like matter is there, but in reality, it's just a hologram. I don't know as far as it goes, like temperature wise, if you'll be able to tell, you know, if they can make things certain. But I don't see why not. You know, I think there's a lot of stuff they've been hiding from us. But here I'll put the link up if you can. You want to throw it in the website for anyone to get.
Yeah, I'll do that. Actually, throw it up in the chat here, and I'll throw it up there for anybody. What else did I want to touch on? Oh, you know, here's something that, you know, we almost skipped over. Maybe we didn't almost skip over. It was probably on your mind, but when you brought up draconian laws being pushed through, I started to think of internet, and I want to talk about Anonymous.
Yeah. Hey, can you hear me better now?
Yeah, perfect. We're fine now.
Okay, good.
Must just be a setting on the headphones when you know, plug it in or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, you know, my computer needs to be rebooted. That's probably what it is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there was all kinds. We could hear our echo sometimes, but we never once heard your voice. You're fine now, though. What's going on? You got anything you want to add to what we were saying, or what's on your mind?
Yeah, it's kind of like the other side of the coin. You know, you can look at the 10 or the 20 or the 50 most outrageous conspiracy theories, you know, of the last year, the last 5 years. You know, but the other side of the coin is, you know, I've been thinking about this, and it's like I kind of came to the conclusion in the last week or two that, you know, and you really need to, you know, let this sink in before you react to it and just hear it, you know, hear it out. But you're never, ever, ever going to hear truth again, you know, from the TV or from the news networks.
That's true.
And those people that you thought that were set up, you know, to be alternate media heroes, they're all fakes and frauds and phonies too. Okay, so let me reiterate that you're never ever, as long as you live, you know, hear truth from the TV, from news networks, or from these alternate media networks. And when you realize that, you know, you start feeling really, really alone, because now it's all up to you to figure out what's true and what's not.
Right. You know, I totally agree. You know, we've talked about it before, to where, you know, the alternative media has really just been a setup from the start. You know, and as far as it goes with the mainstream, the main thing that I try to do, though, is I try to look at what the mainstream is putting out, what the alternative spin is on it, and just trying to discern from there.
Yeah.
You know, none of these people are going to tell you 100% truth. As far as some of them go, you know, even in the alternative media, you may hear anywhere from 60 to 80% truth to 90% truth. But really, I haven't heard too many so-called big names that are going to give you all of it. So, you know, the main thing here is to, I believe, take a little from everywhere. And really, I just watch the mainstream media for predictive programming. And discernment is the biggest key. I think that's all we can do is use what we have here, and just to discern. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
My biggest thing that what I always tell people is pretty much kind of what you're saying is, you know, you have to every story. There's no more reading it in one and two places. If you really want to know the truth about something, you have to look at a minimum of like 10 places. And I'm not exaggerating. You got to dig everywhere, because, like you said, nobody is – not only is none of these people going to give you the whole truth, none of them are going to give you even half of the truth. Most of them aren't even going to give you 25% of it.
Well, it's even worse than that. There, you know, all the those, you know, news networks that you just mentioned, you know, or inferred, you know, are actually there to prevent you from ever seeing the truth.
Exactly. It's okay. Like a false hope. The alternative media, like, you think you're really getting the good information finally, but really it's information catered to your mindset.
Yeah, I mean, if you, you know, would draw a side timeline of, you know, after 9/11, you would see that 9/11, you know, people, everybody that's locked to the internet and all these different sites and you know, 9/11 alternate heroes, you know, you'll see that, you know, everything was just engineered so that they would all be funneled into all these, you know, frauds and fakes and phonies. I mean, that's exactly what happened like 70 years ago when TV was being set up, you know, right before and during World War II.
Yeah, like you know, all these people from the movement popping up on all the networks and stuff, you're saying, like RT and InfoWars and everywhere else, right?
Yeah, like 70 years ago, I mean, as they were preparing to get World War II, you know, started, and you know that they were preparing years before in the United States because they, you know, had started, you know, their huge production facilities that would put out tanks and, you know, planes and all sorts of stuff in huge numbers, and these things were started before we got attacked in Pearl Harbor, so, I mean, that's a lot more damning than, you know, whether FDR had prior knowledge or not a few hours before we got attacked. When you start seeing that production facilities and huge, you know, factories were being set up and financed and funded in 1938, 39, and 40, well, I mean, you know, you can extrapolate backward from there, but, you know, so right before and during, you know, World War II, right when it was starting out, there was no TV, and it was a brand new technology, and it was just discovered, and then they put that into production, and they started producing TVs, but it was the Defense Department that funded CBS, ABC, NBC from the very beginning.
You know,
it's not like they started out non-corrupted and then got bought out, okay? You know, the Hollywood production facilities, those huge warehouses that were set up to produce films and videos and short animations, those were all set up for one purpose.
Propaganda.
Okay? Propaganda films. And, you know, if you go back and look at them, you know, look for them on YouTube, you'll find them all. The other 10% was to entertain the masses. But that's how it started out.
Yeah, it's true. That's what Hollywood was set up for.
Yeah, it didn't. Well, right. So, I mean, once you realize that, you really have to, you know, use that as a foundation when talking to people, in my opinion. You have to show them that there is no difference between, say, Fort Bragg, you know, and Hollywood. You know, there's no difference between Area 51 and Hollywood. Hollywood is just another military base.
Yep. You know, every day I come more to realizing what you're saying, Phil. Every day, week in this, it's like I become more aware of it's how much fake everything just is and how much everything really is Hollywood.
Once you realize that it didn't start out good and get corrupted, but it started out bad and got worse, once you realize that, it eliminates hundreds of thousands of questions. Okay, that will crop up in between, you know, you and seeing the total truth, that everything that you see on TV is a lie. Well, you know, how can that be? You know, how can the, you know, conspiracy be so large? Well, you know, you're looking at it wrong. It's, you know, where does money flow? I mean, Hollywood, you have a new technology, you know, so who's there to make sure that the people don't ever have the power to possess their own technology? Well, I mean, it's the government. And you know, you can clearly trace, you know, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars of Pentagon funds right into Hollywood to make those propaganda films. That's what it was set up for.
Yep.
Oftentimes, too, you'll find out that many of these movies are made with an advisor straight from the CIA on the set. You know, telling them, you know, which things are supposed to go in and which things aren't, and, you know, what, you know, so, I mean, you know, Phil, you're totally right with that. You know, everything nowadays has been thought of well in advance, and everything that they do has been planned out, you know, to get a certain public reaction or to gear the public up for a future event.
Yeah, you know, speaking of that, if let me jump in real quick, you know, and I know, Justin, you're a big believer in, you know, maybe this year they're probably going to try and pull a fake alien hoax. And Phil has a, you know, a theory on the digital TVs. And while we're talking about the TVs, I think maybe, Phil, you should maybe, you know, bring that up.
Well, I mean, it's a real short and easy to see point. You know, after seeing that 9/11, you know, from beginning to end, I mean, at least, you know, I mean, just total, it was a total hoax. It was a total media deception. Once you see that, once you understand that, you know, you have to ask yourself, you know, why did the United States government and all the European governments, that's the whole European Union, you know, plus South America and Mexico, I mean, why is there laws in place where everybody has to go, you know, and being forced into digital TV?
Right.
You know, what's the big deal? You know, I know that digital TV, I mean, one argument, you know, say it's just about profits, you know, because you can't get digital, you know, even the poor people will be forced to pay for the TV now. But, no, I mean, I think that digital TV, you know, I think it's part of the, you know, huge digital deception that's coming up in the next couple of years.
Yep.
I totally agree, Phil, and I think, you know, as weird as you want to take it, and as weird as people want to believe, but you know, the technology that they're developing, and the more and more things that go digital, the more access that they're actually going to be able to have to you through these you know, everything that's electronic is really can be used as a transmitter as well. You know, so I think everything that they're doing, they're syncing everything into the digital realm, and again, I think, you know, you have to wonder why. You have to wonder exactly, you know, why they want all these new cars in the road as well too. You know, I think everything is being done for a reason. You know,
what kind of spooks me out about it? It's almost like, if you think about the big picture about it, right? And you think about how these, you know, it's almost like they want to track you so bad, and they want to merge you with machine. You know what I mean? They come up with these unbelievable plans, like, how do you track everything everybody does? Well, you make the internet, and you make them so dependent on it. How do you track everywhere everybody goes? Well, you make smartphones, and you make it so people can't leave home without it, and people are carrying around GPS everywhere they go willingly. You know what I mean? It's another genius plan to control. I mean, the things that they can do with digital TV and embedding things within, like, the refresh rate and everything. Yeah, I mean, you can almost be hypnotized by looking at the thing.
Almost, you could be 100% hypnotized under analog. Okay,
yeah.
I mean, God only knows, okay, you know, you can send all sorts of transmissions through a digital TV that, you know, human, you know, ears aren't capable of hearing, yet your brain is capable of discerning, you know, I mean, low frequency waves and all sorts of other nonsense and, you know, shenanigans that they can pull through digital TV. It's like, you know, analog TV could produce 100%, you know, full hypnotic state. We know that. I mean,
yeah.
There's no argument. I mean, so, I mean, just imagine, you know, what you guys were talking about earlier, you know, just for instance, you know, alien invasion. And I mean, they don't have great big huge, you know, motherships, you know, that they can put out all over the world. Maybe they only have one or two of those. Maybe they don't really have any of them. And,
exactly.
You know, everybody's going to see flying saucers, you know, or
exactly.
Of some kind or another, you know, flying over their houses or their towns or their cities, you know, but you'll see the motherships on, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, you can make up a variety of things that, you know, that they could use. I mean, right now we're seeing
right.
That, you know, with digital TV, like the green screen technologies, like that Charles Jaco, Fox News, I think it was, no, CNN.
CNN, we were just talking about that earlier, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, total fake. It's like, once you see it, you could start a whole great production, you know, that would get everybody's attention just with starting out with that and sitting there saying, once you see this, once you see these guys smoking dope on the sets, once you see these guys just blowing smoke up your ass, okay, and then getting off camera and, you know, making
laughing
fun of
it.
You. And
laughing.
Once you see that once, why would you ever believe that...
Exactly.
that's a unique experience. I mean, when you see it all in one video in what, 10 minutes?
Right.
You know, it's like, why would you ever believe that they're there to provide you with truth?
Yep. And then you have guys like Glenn Beck crying on air. You have, you know, all these other, you know, types of people doing the same thing. I totally agree with you. And I think that the next event, no matter what it is, the last few have all been used just through the television. So, you know, say it was a fake alien invasion, whatever. Like you said, all they have to do is they can do it through the television at a big event or whatever. And then, you know, everybody is going to be, all you have to do is see the one or two of them look lifelike on TV, maybe do a projection or two outside, and everybody's going to fall for it.
Yep.
And, you know, it doesn't even have to be that. It could just be like the Giffords thing. You believed it because you saw it on TV. You know, they wouldn't lie to you.
It doesn't even take
no
a lot, Justin.
Scene.
Right. It doesn't even, it's yeah, not I even, mean, it's not even going to take holograms. I mean, they can do that, but it's not even going to take that.
Well, I mean, you know, we already know a lot of people are waking up that the media is totally fake, you know, and fraudulent. And how many people believe that and see it and understand it now, we have no idea. But, you know, you really don't want, you know, Fox News and CNN News, you know, using their cameras and showing us great big motherships or you know, fleets of smaller ships moving over cities, because we won't believe it now. Okay, right. But you know what people will believe? They'll believe
Russia
it when
today.
You know when their cousin Sally, you know, puts up a YouTube, you know, from Portland, Oregon,
exactly.
showing a fleet of ships moving in over Portland.
Exactly. Right. You only need to do it over one city in this day and age. The way that'll spread and go viral, you know.
So you know, it'll be Sally that's reporting, you know, the deception. Remember in the Operation Northwoods document, they didn't want it to be the United States government broadcasting to the world that Cuba had shot down, you know, an airliner. They wanted that squawk signal to go out. You know, they wanted it to be picked up, and they wanted it to be, you know, broadcast by an outside, you know, government outside the United States, so that, you know, it wouldn't be a credibility issue from the very beginning.
Right.
You know, and it's the same thing. It's like if Sally's reporting it, you know, you're going to believe it when you see Aaron Brown on CNN saying it.
Right. You know, and there's a whole thing, too, that goes by as far as, like, the YouTube age and as far as, you know, the fact that they've made media deception so wide known. So, you know, say 60% of the country does still believe the media. The other 40% or whatever it is going to go and look and say, you know, this person or that person that makes YouTube videos, if they're putting the same stuff up, you know, they're going to believe it too. And it's very easy to see. And see, the most people don't realize, a lot of people out there think they're spreading the truth, when in reality,
spreading
a lot of times, unwittingly doing so too.
I laugh, you know, about it sometimes. It's so much of it.
Well, yeah, you don't have people getting online saying that there's, you know, an alien invasion. You know, and really it's not. It's just, you know, a whole bunch of UFOs, you know, anti-gravity ships that the United States and multiple
right.
other Western governments have produced over the last 60 years, you know.
Right.
And, you know, so is there flying saucers, you know, will there be fleets of, you know, ships going over cities? Probably, sure, you know, but, you know, will it be aliens? No.
No, of course it's not.
You know, so, yeah, so, you know, you're right. I mean, it's like, you know, from the very beginning, you're clipped with a lie. And then, you know, how do you, you know, once they start something so brazen, you know, it's, man, it'll just get real messy real fast.
It's the timing, too, with 2012 here and with all the stuff that goes along with that. I mean, the timing couldn't be more perfect for them to do this.
Right.
I mean, it couldn't be more perfect.
I would say predictive programming kind of ends at 2012 on TV. If you're looking at movies and TV shows,
yeah.
I don't see any predictive programming for 2013 or 2015 or 2020. I really don't. It's not. It doesn't even seem to be there. It's like it all ends.
Right. I agree. I think 2012 we're going to see some landmark event that totally makes. that totally unites the world under a false premise.
Into the faith and having, you know, world government, because, you know, oh well, now, you know, all of us have to unite, like you said, and they're gonna act like they have to do it at the top, and they're making all these, you know, phony agreements under the guise of protecting the world from aliens, and it's all just part of the world government and the world financial system just closing up the ends.
Guess what? The resistance, you know, those people that quote unquote, I mean, let's work together in the sci-fi thriller. The resistance at that time that would work together with quote unquote the aliens are going to be quote unquote working together with the world government. So every time, you know, there's, I mean, it's like it'll be like easy as pie rounding them up.
It's
insane too. Another piece of programming that just came out the other day was Canada, I believe, just put out a coin with an alien looking thing on it.
I saw that. Yeah.
The White House put out
a postcard with a UFO in the background. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, an official White House postcard with a UFO in the background.
Wow.
What was the year that they had that one of those first formation displays of UFOs over Washington? Was it like what, 43?
Justin would know better.
No, that was in the early 50s when they supposedly had the firefight, the ones that flew over the White House supposedly.
That was in the 50s.
Yep, early 50s, and they supposedly had firefights over West Virginia, and supposedly American pilots got killed and everything else. It's just, you know, more part of the whole thing. That was the early 50s when they just started pushing it on people. After whatever happened at Roswell, or whatever they pretended happened at Roswell, type thing. Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Well,
nothing. Or so.
You know what happened? You know a good way to look at Roswell. You guys will probably really appreciate this. You know, in my opinion, the best way to look at Roswell is like, you know, breaking ground for the bathtub at Ground Zero. You know,
right.
It was just the beginning of a long, elaborate deception. Whether you want to say that anything crashed or not, you know, the whole purpose, I think, of Roswell was to create the backstory.
Right. Exactly.
Yes, there are aliens. Oh, they're here. They crashed in our desert. Oh, my. You know, and, you know, build on that, you know.
They've been built on it ever since. They probably get a real kick out of that one. I mean, we think they get a kick out of some of the 9/11 stuff that they pull. They probably get a real kick out of the alien crap that they pull when they fly little crafts around and get people worked up like the Phoenix Lights and stuff like that. They probably get a kick out of that.
Well, yeah, dressing up as aliens and kidnapping people and giving them butt probes and then dropping them back off. They gotta love that.
I personally believe Phoenix Lights was the first use of holograms on the masses. I believe it was, if you look at it, because those were not flares.
Yeah, they had a hologram program from where the National Guard came from that tried to cover it up. Right?
Right.
Yeah, I think it might have been, my opinion is that it might have been like an airborne aircraft carrier, you know, like a large aircraft carrier, mothership that would carry lots of other little flying saucers. Or it could have been a large balloon that was being towed.
But the thing is, you didn't see, you know, it was hard to see, you didn't see anything besides the lights just floating there. That's, you know, the weird thing about it. But
if it was a hologram, it was a good one, Justin, because it appeared pretty solid. But I do know what you're saying, because it did.
Yeah.
It did trace back to the Maryland Air Force Base or whatever, where they were testing out that hologram technology just like the year before, right?
Right.
Is that where it was, Maryland? Maryland. I mean, why is Maryland National Guard flying all the way over to Arizona?
Exactly.
That was
the excuse they gave. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. That was a little crazy. But there's them. You know. like we know, obviously, with 9/11 and some of the other things, and especially 9/11, I mean, the amount of disinformation that's out there. I mean, I haven't ever really stepped too deep into the whole UFO realm and all that. I know, Justin, you looked into that stuff before. I mean, what's the disinformation like over there? It must be unbelievable, right?
Oh, yeah, it's insane, and I didn't see it until I got my head out of it, because that was something that I was looking into when I was like 17, 18 years old, and I was totally convinced of this stuff. And then I went back and, you know, and started looking at it, and then realized that the whole time I had just been, you know, feeding into it, and I, you know, I really, there was a couple cases that really, you know, I thought were bulletproof. And now I look back at them, and it just could have all been programming. I think the whole thing has been programming. And I think if there ever was any type of alien thing that we wouldn't know about it anyway. So I think that everything that we've heard about, you know, has been totally, you know, phony. The whole community, when you talk about the disclosure community and everything like that, it's complete, you know, CIA stuff. It's you know, they're all agents or...
Yeah,
or just
scientists
that are paid, right. Well, you know what? Too, a lot of them are the fake astronauts.
Yeah.
That supposedly went to the Apollo missions.
Exactly, the fake astronauts. Exactly.
Right.
We can get into that another time, and I've done shows on it, and I've posted the videos. I mean, anybody, you know, listening. I mean, those Apollo missions, total hoax, total fake.
Well, you know, if you can prove, you know, any one of them, you know, the fake, you know, by a single piece of evidence, you know, then, you know, you can, you know, make the argument that they're all fake.
Oh, absolutely. But some people will still never see it that way. You know what I mean, Phil? Me and you and Justin will, but some people will still, you know, are so stubborn you'll have to prove every one to them. But you can. I mean, they're all fake.
Yeah, I mean, you know, part of it was a distraction against Vietnam. Vietnam went a lot longer than, you know, they wanted to. Part of it was just a worldwide ploy to elevate America even further in the eyes of the world.
Exactly. And to suck up money. Money pit.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, it wasn't like a huge money pit. They already controlled everything. And it was,
yeah.
You know, the initial moonshot only cost $17 billion. I mean, $17 billion is a lot of money, but not when you really control an economy that's worth trillions.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
I mean, there was a lot of graft and, you know, corruption as far as who got the contracts and what new companies got started out by, you know, whose buddies. You know, I mean, no doubt about that. But when you the one thing that's more convincing to me is that one video where they're in the capsule and speeding away. You know, they're supposed to be halfway between the Earth and the Moon, and you know, they're showing the Earth through the window. You know, right there. You know, when they, you know, they, it's like Charles Jaco. They, you know,
they
got the video now, and it's fake. You know, there's no argument. It can't be argued.
They even
it's
talk
fake.
About it. They talk about it on the video. If you guys want to see the video, go look at the movie called "A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon." And it's only like a 40-minute documentary, and it'll blow your mind. And they actually, that shot that Phil's talking about, it's totally faked. They tell you that they got the camera up against the window, and that's why, you know, and you see Earth, and Earth's far away because they're, you know, 100,000 miles away.
At first it looks real, and Earth doesn't look like it's the right shape, you know, and you're watching it, and you don't know any better for the first couple minutes, and then they turn on the lights in the capsule, and then you realize, you know, they explain that the camera is, you know, 10 feet away on the other side of the capsule, and, you know, it was aiming on a porthole.
And you see somebody's arm pass through before that. You see somebody's arm pass right through the shot, and it's supposed to be up against the window. It's brutal. It's brutal. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. What else were you, were you saying on it?
What mission was that? Do you know or remember, Brian?
I thought that was the first moonwalk.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Would that be 11 then?
11. I thought it was 11.
So 11 was the first moonwalk?
Was it? Was it 11 or 13? Why do I have 13 in my head? It might have been 11, though.
No,
it was the
13 was the one that got into trouble, supposedly.
Okay, yeah, no, it was 11. Right, yeah. It was 11 because it was Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. I mean, they were the ones specifically on there, too, I remember. And, you know, there's those other videos too when they're approached about this stuff. I mean, they've gotten violent and punched reporters in the face. And you have, here's one thing that I think is more telling than anything, guys, okay? Let's take a guy like Michael Jordan, for instance, right? He was, the arguably the most famous athlete of all time, probably the most marketed athlete of all time. And he was all over TV, all over interviews everywhere, his whole career, right? Neil Armstrong, first guy to walk on the moon, should be like Michael Jordan. I mean, he should be everywhere. They should be interviewing him for everything. He should be in all types of shows, movies, interviews, magazines. He hasn't given a single interview since that moonwalk. Not one interview has he given besides the official press conference when they got back. That tells, I mean, that, come on. Yep. That should tell you right there. I mean, how does the only guy, the first guy to walk on the moon has never given an interview in 40-something years, 50 years, however long it's been?
Yeah, because it was all nonsense.
Exactly. He doesn't want to get in front of the camera and talk about it, obviously. Because it's just, so, there's not even any stars. I mean, there's so many things. Some things are so obvious.
Yeah, it gets really, repetitive.
It's really bad.
Once you
they couldn't do that
it,
today,
it,
Justin.
No. You know what? I bet they could. You know, maybe I think that maybe 5 to 20% of us would figure it out. But I still think that 60 to 70% would believe it was a fact, and then another 10% might say it was possible.
They actually could have taken a direct feed and broadcast it, and they put it through a projector, filmed it up on the wall, and then made them take a movie camera and film the wall and then broadcast that to people.
You know what else is unbelievable, too, about the whole thing? Is the fact that they say they lost the original tapes. Now, wouldn't they said that somehow they were stored somewhere, and that's why they said that you can't watch the originals. You can only watch copies. They said the originals were lost somehow during the shuffle when they were moving things around.
Yeah,
now,
okay.
Wouldn't those be something that would be in like your...
The most sacred tapes most ever in the history of the world?
Exactly.
Pretty much.
And they got lost in the shuffle down at NASA.
Like,
in Houston.
I'm talking under armed guard, 24/7, 365 tapes.
Well, I can't, if I was the director of NASA, and I heard all this stuff, saw this stuff going on the net, I would... simply, and I knew better, and that, if I was the director of NASA and I knew better, I mean, I would simply, turn Hubble around, point it the other way, and show everybody live footage of, the little moon buggy and the flag on the moon. But they can't do that. The only thing that they can show that we have on the moon is little reflectors that reflect laser beams.
Which don't prove anything to me. They could have been dropped off.
Oh, well, that's exactly what they were. They were dropped off.
Exactly.
But they can't, turn Hubble around and show you pictures of the moon buggy only for one reason, because there are no moon buggies on the moon.
Exactly. It's on a movie set, either in California, Area 51, a Nevada desert, wherever you want to think it is, that's where it is. It's a movie set somewhere. Just like a lot of things. It's unbelievable. I mean, they've been pulling this crap forever.
The U.S. presidency is a movie set.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Look at the U.S. presidency. How often does the president go off cue? He's fed everything. He's fed, from a teleprompter. Every time George Bush or Obama, speaks off prompter, which they hardly ever did toward the end of their terms, they learned better. They made gaffes and sounded stupid. That's because you can't be a real person and mix it in together with the persona that's coming through the teleprompter. That teleprompter, is your radiance. It radiates to you. You radiate back to the people. You read what it says and look presidential. That's how it's marketed. That's how it's written. That's the story. That's the writers.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead.
I mean, it'll probably come to a time in 20 or 30 years where, start electing holograms to office if we go that far. And, people that, go out in public and look real and, who knows what they could do. But it's like everything that we see now is fake. It's all fraud. It's like hang up your hope on ever seeing any kind of breakthrough come through the alternate media or the regular media or through any venue on TV, because it's not going to happen.
No, it's not. It's like the only time you can get real information is if you find, you know, just small time people like me and Justin talking on small radio. I mean, you can't trust any of the people that are out there that have a big name or a big following. They're all put there. They're all put in their place, and they're all there to steer you in a certain direction, whether you realize it or not. And they're there basically, you know, like I tell people, when you finally break away from the mainstream media and all the BS that surrounds it, it's like you kick through this box and you think you're free, and you're really just inside a bigger box, and that's the alternative media. And they're giving you all this information you never heard before, so you believe it, and they're mixing much lies. Go ahead.
Yeah, look at the concentration camps, like all the way across America. You know, you look at these, you see the pictures of them, you know, and you know, you have to start asking yourself some questions. I mean, all these camps, you know, you could put up in 2 weeks, you know, with U.S. Army units. You know, I mean, there's really not a lot to putting up these camps. They're wire, they're foundations and buildings, you know. So, you know, why would you put something like that up 30 years ahead of time and then, you know, allow people to broadcast? Those tips were put up to scare you into compliance.
Exactly. That's why Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura did a show there, and they even showed you the coffins. I mean, how much fear-mongering is that, guys? They showed you like 100,000 coffins and told you FEMA was going to murder everybody, or the CDC, and they were going to throw – it was unbelievable fear-mongering. It really was. And I didn't see it at the time.
Yeah, the whole thing with the FEMA camp things is, why would they go and lock up every American? It does not make sense. You know, all this stuff that came out the late 90s, and it was all, you know, we've been hearing ever since, anyone that's been in the movement, that they're planning on having these lists, and pretty much 66% of the people in the country are going to be locked up. The red list and blue list and the yellow list is going to be allowed to stay home or work. No, they're not going to lock up 66% of the population, because that's how many people there work and are feeding this beast. They're not just going to go and lock everybody up. And not only that, they don't need to, because they have everybody mind controlled, and they're killing us slowly through you know, eugenics and everything. They don't need to lock everybody up.
Who would listen to Alex Jones if they did?
Right. Exactly. You know, here's the thing. Alex Jones needs a new world order like Batman needs a Joker. And, you know, that's the case as far as a lot of these people go. And I can't believe they've made so much money off this stuff. That's what really bothers me is, you know, here's three guys like us just don't, you know, on here talking about it for free, and you have someone out there selling all this merchandise, and then yet complaining about
misleading everybody and complaining about everything he does to people. I got to jump in and say one thing about it while we mention Alex Jones, just because I know that, you know, we actually do have a good amount of people listening tonight. I'm happy to see that. I want to thank all the listeners that we have tonight. And I know that some of you guys maybe do still listen to Alex Jones and might have doubts about what we're saying. And, you know, I put together what I think is like the ultimate YouTube playlist exposing this guy. And it's not, you know, all my own research. A lot of people did some great work before me and have videos, you know, and I put the best ones. I put them in order in this playlist. If you just let it play, once you get through the first 10 or 15 videos, if you were an Alex Jones fan, your jaw is going to be on the floor, okay? On the floor. So just, you know, check out The Real News Online, my site that I told you earlier. I have two sites, you know, The Last American Radio Broadcast, which is thelastamerican.org, and then I have therealnewsonline.com, and go to the Exposing the Fake Truth section, and just look at the video player that's right there, and just play. Just let it play. Let the videos play in order, and see how much of a fraud, a liar, a phony, a rat this guy senses you, his own callers. It's amazing, and he won't talk about certain groups. It's unbelievable. Everything this guy says he stands for, he's the exact opposite of it. And he's what's wrong with the truth movement. And one more thing I want to say about it, and I'll let you guys put something in here, is what good is the leader of the so-called 9/11 truth movement if he's all about hiding the truth of 9/11?
And promoting fear. When's the last time Alex Jones got together with Jim Fetzer and William and Kevin Barrett and David Ray Griffin and talked about something that they could all do, you know, and agree
solutions.
On?
No solutions.
Together on.
Never solutions, see,
no,
Phil. Never.
No solutions. No. But we're talking about professors here. I mean, they're smarter than us, and they make white papers, right?
Yeah, but it's all a show, and he's such a phony. And you know what? And you know, sometimes we say the odd of his disinformation is by giving you, you know, facts and mixing in the other stuff, so you already believe him once you see the facts. But honestly, if you take his headlines and you source a lot of his material, you try and find those stories elsewhere, a lot of the stuff he floats out there is complete BS. Like, you won't even find it in other places. Like, it's...
Well, yeah,
it's not 70%.
Folks, there's Russian helicopters right now. They're being shot down over Moscow. Oh, my God. The world's on the edge of pandemonium, people.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. If you take like 10 of his headlines and you take 7 of them and just Google them and try and find them elsewhere, you won't find them anywhere that doesn't link back to InfoWars or Prison Planet.
That was Alex during Y2K. There's Heinz helicopters being shot down right now over Moscow.
Yeah, his Y2K show is unbelievable. I mean, that was complete fear-mongering. He said there were, like, missiles in the air on the way over.
Yes. Yep.
If you listen to it, he was pulling it out of his butt. He was just making it up.
Oh, I know. It sounded like a madman Alex running around with his fat face just totally making it up at the top of his head.
You know what's crazy too is the other day I was listening to Bill Cooper's. I've been trying to get as much stuff as I can on Bill Cooper post 9/11 and
yeah,
on that day.
Yeah, there's not that much on YouTube after 9/11 for him.
No, there's not. But that day the 8-hour thing that he was doing,
yep.
He was trying to, you know, just get the first info out there, you know, and of course after, you know, right then you can't expect him to see everything. But, you know, he said, you know, there's no way that planes took down buildings from the top and, you know, this and that had to be shaped charges. And he was saying, guys, whatever you do, do not listen to Alex Jones. He's going to tell you, you know, and he was totally right. And I really believe that they took him out because of that, you know, because he would have called him on this. And I think he would have probably, if he was totally legit,
he would have been the real guy to lead it.
Right. Well, and not only that, I think he would have found out a lot of this stuff that, you know.
I don't know, guys. I mean, let's go back to where we were 20 minutes ago. No respect to Bill Cooper or anybody who believes in, you know, that Bill Cooper was a good man. I'm not saying he wasn't, but this is just, you know, some food for thought. You know, I mean, take a look. You know, we've seen what they've done with people's fiction. You know, they have a economy of actors in 9/11. Now, go take a look at Bill Cooper's pictures
and put
him alongside with, you know, say, Jordan Maxwell and tell me, you know, how much they look alike. Okay? Yeah. Now, Bill Cooper also preached that there was going to be an alien invasion. Okay, that's why I said, let's go back to where we were 20 minutes ago, guys. You know, he was already setting people up for, you know, what you guys are saying is going to be the next major deception.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the thing with the Jordan Maxwell thing, and there's a lot of you know, Ed Chiarini's other things too, like we touched on earlier. The reason why I think Cooper actually is dead and is not Maxwell is because, unlike all these other fake victims, he's right there in the social security death index.
You know, that was never good evidence when the, you know, 9/11 movement used it. Okay, there was never a time when they used it properly or really gave you a full idea of who goes in the Social Security Death Index and who doesn't and who controls it. But I'd venture to say that if the director of the FBI wants somebody in the SSDI, I'll bet you he could do it.
I agree with that, but why wouldn't all these fake victims be in there then? Why, you know what I mean? Why wouldn't so many of these other people be, you know, be in there if all it took was
well,
him?
You
know, be too much work to do all
left.
Of them, and he's more prominent, you know.
Well, they were left as a rabbit trail too. You know, it doesn't say that they didn't exist. Okay. And not many people throughout the 10 years that, you know, with all the information those offers sat there and said, huh, so maybe there was no victims. Nobody went there. Everybody, you know where they went? Where they were directed to. when that came up, you know, you had people like Alex and Lisa and Victor and everybody else saying, oh, they were rounded up and killed. Oh, my. You know, all the people in all the planes, you know, were murdered and bulldozed into a hole. Oh, lions and tigers and bears.
Right, and flown out over the Atlantic Ocean and this
or taken off the plane in the L.A. airport and all this other crap that they floated out there.
Right,
nobody ever said that they didn't exist.
Right. Well, but Phil, again though, you know, too, that's the thing is, I mean, I know you guys have done the research. I've done it too. None of those passengers are in the SSDI. You know, that's the thing. Why would you know? And even like, I think the flight manifesting was done on purpose to give us a bone into it, you know, they left all the Muslim names off it. But, you know, as far as, I don't know, I just have a trouble with personally believing that Cooper would go into a role that had nothing to do, that wouldn't benefit as much. You know, I just personally believe he was one of the guys that was somewhat the real deal. That's personally where I'm at with it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he's not. All I'm saying is I'm 50-50 right now. I'm in the middle. And I'm in the middle of just about everything after finding out that the towers were built hollow. You know, everything went on the chopping block. Everything.
Oh, everything for me, man. Every false flag attack, that's for sure. It makes me think they're all probably just media events that were nothing.
Every false flag attack, every McDonald's attack, everything. I'm not saying they're all fake. I'm just saying they're all under question now. They all have to be reinvestigated.
From a new eye. Yep, from a new perspective, they have to be looked at. For things you never looked at before. You're always looking for how buildings were taken down, this and that. You're never looking for, you know, the other things, the Photoshop and all the other stuff. And now when you go back and look at those things, we're going to see a lot of stuff. Go ahead.
Well, over the last 30 years, there's nobody that came out, even after the internet came out, there's nobody that came out and said that, hey, all these postal, you know, shootings and all these McDonald's mass murders and, all you know, school
office
mass murders
parks.
Are hoaxes. Yeah. Nobody suspected it. Nobody. And yet here we have the Giffords, okay? I mean, clear cut, the thing was a hoax, okay? Right. You know, I can't say that there's proof like that for everyone, because I'm not aware of it if there is. But once you find a mass murder like that involving a congressman and a judge, and it's perpetuated by the media, then you have to sit there and say, wait, well, you know, what about the Caltech shooting? What about this shooting? What about Columbine, you know?
Right.
And there's a lot of evidence to show that Columbine was a hoax as well.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what about Columbine. Whether it happened or not, it didn't happen the way they said it was. And either way, the kids themselves are reporting four shooters. I don't know. I haven't delved into that and actually looked up the victims and whatnot. But either way, you know, who knows? You know, those kids. The shooters might not have even been real if there was people shot, and they you know, the shooters might have just been made up people, you know,
it might have been just another one of these media companies.
Anything's possible.
Yeah.
Well, let me show you something that most people don't realize about a school shooting. Let me show you the mechanics of it in about 30 seconds, and how easy it would be, you know, once any single school is controlled by two or three or four people, you know, from the principal on down. You only have to have a couple people inside the school, okay? Once the fire alarm gets pulled, okay, the school gets emptied out,
right?
Nobody stays behind. Nobody ever stays behind, okay? That's just the way it is, all right? So you want to do a fake school shooting, you pull the fire alarm, okay, and you have your victims that are going to disappear, you know, stay inside the building, you know? And then you let it all happen. Okay, no, there's no witnesses. They're all outside. They're all gone. They're all being evacuated. And all the fake victims, you know, are getting on a bus, you know, or ambulances or what later. You know, it's so easy to control, okay? And then you would never know. You know, you would never know. How would you know?
You wouldn't.
I agree. You know, and that's just like the Fort Bragg shooting. I totally think that that was a... another made up event too, you know. Yeah. I don't, you know, and that was that 2000. No, that was 2010. The Fort Bragg one. Okay.
And the Fort Hood. And we know the underwear bomber. These things.
That's what
it never happened.
That's what I meant. I meant Fort Hood.
Fort Hood. Yeah, you meant Fort Hood. Yeah, Yeah. You know, before we go, because we're going to wrap it up in about 15 minutes. We've been going for more than 3 hours. But, you know, before we go, there's something that, you know, we were talking 2011, and there's something I really want to talk about that we didn't really get into, and that's Anonymous. You know, I want to get your guys' take on it, and, you know, we want to tell everybody out there that, you know, I think pretty much a lot of the people of our ilk know better now than to buy into any of this crap. But, you know, these guys are there, everybody. These guys, and I said it before, and I'm sure, you know, Phil did, and I'm sure Justin did too. You know, before they even started popping their heads out too much, that, you know, this government was going to trump up a bunch of hacking so they could, you know, pass the internet laws. And we knew, because we knew the internet restrictions were coming, so we knew that they were going to fake a bunch of hacking. And then here comes Anonymous, right on cue. And personally, you know, my belief, and this is a theory, okay, I think the big one that they're going to do that's really going to clamp everything down and get anything they want pushed through is they're going to hack the already hacked election. And what do you guys yes. think about that?
Yep. I think that the election is something that they can blame on them. And then, you know, everything that I've already said earlier about race wars and everything else too would probably take place too. You know, just in fact, if you had a lot of people that were mad, say it was hacked for Ron Paul, you know, say it was hacked for, you know, whatever
or
they want to tell
them.
You.
I think against them, and that right. covers all sides of the coin. All the people that buy into that crap and the election and everything, they're all upset.
Right.
And then all the people that support him are all upset. And, you know, there's like us on the sideline, and that's pretty much it. Everybody else is an uproar, and they're all begging for the new internet regulations because they think
okay, well, you know, it begs the question why any election machine needs to be plugged into the internet to begin with, all right? They should be standalone machines.
Absolutely.
Okay, with an SD card, okay, that's removed with, you know, seven witnesses, you know,
absolutely.
That sign off on it with a notary.
Justin's
you know,
talking
and
about
that,
this a lot. I absolutely.
And right away, get rid of Electoral College because, you know, what good does that do if we don't if the popular vote is only 40% of the end? That means that 60%. Is chosen by the establishment, and but no, you're totally right about the machine. Go ahead, Phil, about the machines.
The Electoral College is only put in place as a fail-safe mechanism for the ruling class, just in case the people ever chose, you know, or somebody got through, you know, and was elected. You know, they could, by under the color of law, say no. You know, that's why we have the Electoral College, and here's who really won.
Yeah.
Okay, as far as them wanting to shut down the internet, don't count on it. You know, it's here, right. It's staying. They know that they can't shut it down, but remember, you know, if they want Sally broadcasting, you know, an alien invasion, you know, they need the internet up.
No, exactly, to spread their disinformation, but they do want to control it a little more. You know, and that's what Anonymous is here to do, to help them get the legislation passed along the way that they need to be able to just, you know, take down a website when they want. Or if they don't like your 9/11 stuff at Let's Roll, you know, they want to be able to stop traffic from your site. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It goes against everything we were brought up to believe we had for freedom. I mean, it seems to me that a lot of our freedoms were never even there. Never mind that we're losing them.
Where did we learn that we had these ideals? We learned them on TV.
Yeah, TV, school, you know, all the BS.
I mean, isn't it all these BS lying movies that are there to condition us, that are telling us that we live in the number one country in the world, the best
yep.
country in the world?
Oh, yeah, I never
now,
really bought that. That's...
Well, what is China's Hollywood telling the Chinese?
Same thing. Every country's telling them the same
thing. Wow. Well, what would happen if you switched them? What if we got China's Hollywood and Hollywood, you know, China got America's Hollywood?
We'd be horrified.
Yeah, I mean, if you really look at it, yeah, we probably would be. Something before we go off into, you know, the last segment that you're going toward, something that I wanted to say. And it's like the other side of, you know, the whole show is the other side of the coin. In the last 2 years, something that a lot of people, you know, should notice is that the quote-unquote 9/11 truth movement has been silenced, has gone silent. They're no longer there. They've all each went to their own way. They've turned to their own ways, and 9/11 is no longer part of the focus, whereas a year, year and a half ago, it was, and it had a lot of steam and an impetus. I would like to add that the reason that, you know, 9/11 is here no more, and that all mouths are silenced, is because of the Hollow Towers. They couldn't attack it.
They can't debunk it. They can't talk about it.
They couldn't debunk it. They couldn't troll it very well because there's hundreds and hundreds of articles with thousands of people that now believe this stuff, you know, just in one place. I mean, with probably at least a few million people all the way around the world that have seen this, know it, and believe it.
Yep.
Okay, so the only thing that they could do was ignore it. But also, this has had a psychological effect on them. Our own psyop back to them is, it was a lot of fun for them to do this. I'm not going to name names, all right? But all the active members in the 9/11 Truth Movement now, and who were active 2 years ago, you know, it was a lot of fun for them while the deception was still going, when they still knew the little dirty secret that the towers were hollow and that nobody died, okay?
Yep.
But that fun was taken away from them when this stuff came out and people started to see it and, you know, embrace it. So, psychologically speaking, a lot of their, we took a lot of wind out of their sails.
We did. I've been getting a lot of positive feedback from some of my 9/11 radio shows lately. The last couple of weeks, a lot of people have been listening to it and letting me know that they're really on board with it, you know? I mean, how can they not? And, you know, with all the research you guys put out there, I mean, there's just so much proof. I mean, it's not like the thermite BS that's floated out there. I mean, you know, it's obvious to me that this is what happened, you know? But.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you look at that, you know, this research, you know, we decimated the whole community. There's nothing, they can't even go out and preach their old 9/11 lies because, like I said, that, you know, it's psychological. It's like, you know, they feel like they're pissing against the wind right now.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Phil, like, you know, like we said before and we've talked about it, you know, at length, you know, people like, you know, Alex Jones or people, you know, that are put in place to kind of control the 9/11 information that people look into, they can't debunk it. They can't talk about it. They cannot talk about it because what are you going to say? What are you going to say about it? You know what I mean? I mean, they'll look foolish trying to defend against it. They have to try to ignore it. It's their only defense to it because there's just too much, and they don't want people going and looking. They don't want people going to Let's Roll. They don't want people going to The Last American and listening to our radio shows, listening to the shows you've done before that you have up, you know, wherever you have them, you know, some of the other sites that you what are a couple of the other 9/11 sites you have, Phil? Why don't we put them out there real quick?
One of them went down, and I'm going to put it back up again soon, but philjahan.com. That's going to be, you know, become the 9/11 archive once, you know, we do some software changes to it. That costs money. Let'sRollForums.com. Let'sRoll911.org is down right now, but it'll be back up soon. Probably going to redirect it to philjahan.com because I like that as a, I think it'll be a better foundation for writing articles and stuff than, you know,
yeah,
the old one.
Yeah. So if philjahan.com is down right now and we use that as our audio archive.
No, that's up. That's
oh,
up.
It's up? Okay, let's you scared roll. Me for a second. All right, I thought you said philjahan.com.
No, let's roll911.org is down. Tell you the truth, it went down. And here I'm going to put an unplug in for GoDaddy here. This is why I'm never going to use GoDaddy again. I'm only going to use them as a registrar for now until I find a new registrar.
Uh-huh.
But my site went down. And just because I forgot to make a payment, I had the money, and I forgot. You know, it was over the holidays, and then it slipped my mind. And then I think it was 2 weeks went by, okay? And then they axed my files.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know what? I am never, ever, 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 ever going to spend another dime hosting anything at GoDaddy again after that.
Wow. That's unbelievable,
you know?
Man.
I couldn't believe it. 2 weeks and they took the files down. You know, I'm like, that's way too brutal. It's like, you know what? Go to hell.
Yeah, that really is.
So that's my commercial for GoDaddy right here.
Yeah, screw them. A lot of people aren't happy with them. Justin, we're gonna be, you know, I know we're gonna be closing it up. What do you want to close it up with? And we can, we, you know, we'll do another show and we'll get to the stuff we didn't get to.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, no, definitely. I just wanted to say it's a new year and get ready for 2012. It's gonna be a bumpy one. And I don't mean to cast fear in anybody, but I just want to tell everybody out there to make sure that you're ready for, you know, a couple weeks to a couple months of possible, you know, having supplies ready. And I don't mean, you know, everything government, but, you know, natural disasters, man-made disasters, whatever is possible. I think everyone out there, if you're not stocked up with at least a month of supplies, you're doing yourself and your family a disservice because... you know, when the shit hits the fan, people will be, you know, looking for those that have prepped. And besides that, I just think that, you know, use your discernment and you know, check out anybody, whether it's me, Brian, Phil, anyone, look through the research that we present you, you know, and look through everything else you're getting in the regular media and the alternative media. And, you know, like I said, discernment is the key. You know, stop swallowing something just because you you take a certain person to be believable. You know, judge everything they say by looking up the facts.
By the context of it, exactly. Right. Don't follow anybody. I know, you know, Michael is a big proponent of this, and we've talked about this at great length. We've done shows on this. You know, it's so dangerous to follow any of these people. Any of the people you see in the alternative media, the regular media, TV, celebrities, anybody you see that's famous, do not follow them. They're not somebody to idolize. They're not somebody to follow, and they're not giving you real information. That's why they're put out there, all of them. They all have their own spin on it. Some of them have it wrapped up cleverly, and they look like patriots. Other ones look like they're, you know, against the government in other ways. All of them look like they're pro-government, whatever it is. You know, don't follow any of them. And just remember, you know, and this is the theme to a lot of my shows, you gotta know that the news, okay, especially, and I mean the media in general, it's all propaganda. I mean, besides the local weather and hearing about a fire down the street, I mean, you really can't believe anything on there. I mean, you really need to research into anything you see on there. Don't be naive. And, you know, like with the NASA thing, for instance, you know what I mean? You know they didn't go to the moon, but you're going to believe them when they tell you they seen a UFO flying by their spaceship. You know what I mean? It's exactly. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
You know, people need to create their, you know, and develop their own discernment. It's always something that, you know, discernment eventually ends in wisdom. I mean, so you know what to do with all your knowledge. And if you have enough knowledge, you can, you know, be discerning. But as far as, like, collecting food and stuff, it's, you know, this is stuff that we should have been taught in first grade.
Yeah.
You know, if you had money for cigarettes and a six-pack of booze a couple nights a week, then you've got money for food. I mean, it only takes like 30 or 40, 50 bucks to get yourself a month's supply of food, you know, and a small Berkey water filter, you know, that you can go and, you know, that's it. Okay, so it's like if you're so helpless that you're not going to spend $50 of your own money when times are good to, you know, cover yourself for like a month or two hard times, then you're just stupid. I mean, people need to, you know, really, you need to take care of yourselves. It's like a natural disaster hits and everybody hits the TVs and like, how is the government going to take care of us? You know, where's the food coming in? Where's water?
Right.
You know, if everybody down in New Orleans would have had a 3 month supply of food, and I'm talking something that would have cost them $150 to buy. Okay. Mm-hmm. All those people in New Orleans that still own their own houses.
Yep.
Yeah.
But they don't, and they had to be evacuated because they couldn't take care of themselves.
Yeah. You know, that would have happened anywhere in this country, because that's how
that's
everybody
ridiculous.
Is, the mentality.
But, you know, but that whole city always had enough money for booze and cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You see where I'm going with this?
Oh, no, I know that's where you're going, yeah. But that's not, you know, that's not necessarily their fault. That's what's been seared into their brain, just like the rest of America. You know what I mean?
So, you know, and if hard times don't come to you, remember, you know, if you have a 3 or 4 month supply of food, you know, you can always box some of it up and send, you know, a 2 week supply of food to somebody that's in need when you hear that, you know, they lost their job or, they don't have enough money for groceries. So, you know, you should take some of your extra money and put this aside so that you have, you know, money to give those in your family and your friends, so you can help them when, you know, they in your time of need.
Well, how about, you know, instead of buying your nephew a $200 pair of sneakers for Christmas, how about a food supply for people? That'd be a great gift idea.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing, you know, everybody, you know, won't pay much attention to it, you know, while you're stocking it up. But, you know, if disaster ever hits, you know, you'll be the hero on top of the hill.
Oh, my God. I would love somebody if they got that for me. I really would. I really, really would.
But, you know, but, I mean, we could have a nuclear disaster here in Illinois, or we could have, you know, monster tornadoes come through, you know, where they evacuate the areas. But, you know, people that have food and water, you know, they won't really need to go. You know, if you can take care of yourself, and you should always take care of yourself. Don't ever count on somebody else to take care of you or to feed you for a week or a month.
Such a good point. I mean, nobody's going to take care of you or your family, especially these governing agencies like the FDA, USDA. You got to learn about your own health, your family's health. You got to put a little time in. You got to put a little effort into researching what you should be. These are the things, like you were saying, on some other issues, but these are the things they should have been teaching us in school. This is what we should have learned in health class, how to take care of our body, how to take care of ourselves, how to survive. But they don't teach you.
Right,
anything like
yeah.
That.
And once you get a food supply, I mean, it's good for a couple of years, and you can just rotate it, you know? I mean, it doesn't take a ton of money to get a closet full of ramen noodles, you know? And, you know, from there, you can just, you know, for variety, you can get other stuff. But, I mean, you know, two packs of ramen noodles, you know, which cost me, I think, 27 cents for two of them, you know, that'll feed me for a day.
Yeah.
You know, and I won't have to go hungry.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, you know, people need to realize that, you know, they need to take care of themselves, and not ever, you just need to get it out of your head that it's anybody else's job to take care of you or put one right. spoonful of, you know, food inside your mouth. It's your job. You know, if disaster hits and you and your family go hungry, okay, and you're not scraping by, you know, you've got money for beer and cigarettes and movies right now, then you're stupid. That's what it comes down to.
I agree, and here's the thing, guys. It doesn't take thousands of dollars to do it. You can go out and you buy a bag of beans each week. You know, you probably get a 10-pound bag for a few bucks. You know, you get beans, rice, peanut butter, high profile foods, and then if you have a few extra bucks, get protein bars, a 2,000 calorie protein bar can last you all day if you're really hurting or whatever. Can even survive two people for 2 days if you're, you know, depending on what you have out there. There's enough deals that you can get. You don't have to go and buy one of these big, survival packs from one of these big expensive places.
Oh, it's heck all about, no. They make profit off those. Go to your discount store. We have all these here. I don't know,
yep.
You know, what people have across the country, but, you know, they have all these here. And if you go to Sam's Club, like ramen noodles,
right.
You know, I think they're like 12 cents a pack when you buy like a whole box of them,
right.
You know.
Yeah, cheap.
And two or three of those a day, you know, is enough to, you know, save you from starving. I mean, you might not want to live off it for a year, but, you know, if you have a month supply of ramen noodles versus nothing.
Right.
Yeah. I'll be chopping up noodles after the first day of being hungry. After the first day of being hungry, I'll be chomping that stuff. It's
oh,
such
yeah.
a good idea, you know.
Peanut butter,
myself.
Cans of tuna fish, you got to get some protein too, but you know, you don't have to go crazy. For the most part, grains, rice, beans, stuff like that is enough to get you through.
Let me go through my closet really quick. Check this out. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12 packs of ramen noodles. I think these things were like $4 a piece. Okay. I have 6 bags of Oyster crackers. I have 3 bags of potato chips. I've got enough macaroni and cheese. You know, I got the generic kind and a good kind, you know, so you don't right. always get sick of the generic, but I got enough macaroni and cheese to last me for 2 months.
Yeah,
I've got turkey breast and ham and beef and cans, you know, and then I have tons and tons of tuna, all sorts of rice sides. I have, you know, bags of rice, Idaho potatoes, you know, by the gallon. You know, lots of quick oats, you know, Chef Boyardee, a case of Bush's beans. You get the idea.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I'm good for 3 or 4 months.
Yep, and the thing is, guys, water too, and make sure you're also rotating your stuff. You know, if you have it sitting there for a year, well, eat it and replace it. You know, that's the thing. Make it so that each week, you're spending, you know, $10-$20. You know, if you're going and spending $200 at the store on groceries, you know, every 2 weeks, spend $10 or $20 on, you know, and put it aside. Get one of those big Tupperware, you know, those big what would you call them? You know, those big plastic bins. And you know, and plastic tub, and just seal those, you know, seal with food and water, and you know, with stuff like that, and then make sure you have flashlights, batteries, and also you want to have stuff in case of an EMP attack, you know, just possibly so you can, you know, like a hand crank radio, stuff like that, just so you can still get information in, but stuff like that, it's not expensive, you don't need all that, just a way to make a fire also. And a way to, you know, purify water, and a way to cook. You know, if you have these basics covered, then you'll be fine. You know, yeah, you can get a generator and everything else. But you know what? In some situations, you won't even be able to use the generator. It might be too loud. It might be giving up your spot that you have all this stuff.
Exactly. That's not a good thing in right. time of need. Sometimes people are going to be looking for who's got the goods, you know? You don't want to have to go out looking for. You don't want a generator. Yeah,
well, that's the idea, too. It's like, you know, if everybody in town, and you live in a city of 50,000, if everybody only has 2 weeks of food and you've got 3 months of food, you know, you don't want to go out and be in the crowds when everybody's hungry and angry and frustrated and pissed off and confused and in the dark about what's going on because, you know, they're going to be armed. And it's like, you're not going to want to go into public places when things are really, really, really bad.
Yeah. Guys, we're going to have to wrap it up with my dog is not going to wait any longer. We've been going like 4 hours, and everybody's going to be listening to him cry in about 2 seconds.
Yeah, I got to go, too. It was a good show, you guys.
Yeah, I had a great show. You guys, you know, after I take my dog out, if you guys are up and you want to chat or whatever, I'll leave my Skype on for a few. Everybody out there, you know, I want to thank all you guys for listening tonight. It was great doing the old 2011 show. I know I'm a few days late with it. Usually that's a New Year's Eve, New Year's Day type of show. I got to about 75% of the things I wanted to do, so maybe hopefully Justin can come back on with me sometime this week and we can, you know, we can finish up the rest of the topics I had in mind. If not, I mean, you'll be hearing from me in one of the next few days. I'll be doing another show during the afternoon. TheLastAmerican.org is where you can hear me. My other site is TheRealNewsOnline.com. Like I said, Justin, you can find him on Facebook, Justin Cook, or his group, The Useless Eaters. He's on there a lot, posting a lot of good stuff. And
also, quick group, too, The Wake Up Call is another good group that I'm involved with on Facebook as well.
All right, cool. The Wake Up Call on Facebook, and we're gonna.
The Wake Up Report. Show. I got confused with your old show. Go ahead.
Okay, The Wake Up Report. Okay, and Phil, one more time. Why don't you give everybody your sites, and then we're gonna hit the music and close it out.
PhilJahan.com. That's PhilJahan, PhilJahan.com, and Let's Roll Forums, plural.com, LetsRoll Forums.com.
All right. Thanks, everybody. You've been listening to The Last American Radio Broadcast. I'm Brian Stavely. I want to thank Justin Cook, Phil Jahan, and everybody that listened tonight and participated. You know, that's all for tonight, and we'll finish up the 2011 episode on another night. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, guys.